Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. Dave Glover Show, a few minutes past 5 p.m. As promised, we have Mr. Bill O'Reilly here. Tony and I were just looking at the... how long ago was this, Tony? You're looking at the website?
2008. I was looking in the Wayback Machine at the 97.1 website in 2008. Bill O'Reilly, 11 to 1.
Yeah.
Middays here at the radio station.
Yeah, part of this storied...
oh, yeah.
19 years for KFTK. Bill was on for several years before retiring from radio. He's back now with the O'Reilly Update, which we may carry here soon. If you would like to hear Bill's, it's about a 15-minute update. We'll get into more details with Bill here in a second. Yep. But tweet us, send Jeff Allen an email. You could sway him. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Good, Dave. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's good to talk to you again, my friend. So it's been a long time since I've heard your opinions, and a lot of water under the bridge. I just want to jump right into it if we can. I'm fascinated to know what you think of just the Trump phenomenon. We can pare it down into some details, but just the 45th president, what do you think?
Well, I got a book coming out in September called The United States of Trump. How the president really sees America. And it's a history book on him. Known him 30 years. I think he is a force of nature. In the book, I explain who he is really and how he pulled it off. Only two people in the world could have done it, him and Oprah Winfrey. So tell me what you want to know about Mr. Trump, and I'll let it fly.
So there are two general schools of thought, one being, my God, this guy is just a loose cannon. You never know what he's going to do. And the other is he's playing three-dimensional chess and everything is aimed and everything is intentional. Is it either or is it a little bit of both?
Well, I think Donald Trump is an emotional guy who is used to living his life a certain way, and he has not changed one bit. Since he has become president of the United States. Now, in my opinion, he should modify himself a little bit because his circumstance is different than it was as a TV star slash mogul. But he's not going to do that. The strength of his presentation is that his fan base or voter base, however you want to see it, very strong, remains strong. And his vision of how to make deals has helped the country economically. The weakness is he brings chaos wherever he goes, and a lot of people don't like that, and it hurts public policy sometimes.
What is your opinion? This is a very big question, but I'll let you answer it any way you want. Your opinion on the current state of the immigration crisis and the way the administration's handling it?
Well, one of the things that Donald Trump did not understand when he won the presidency is that you just can't do what you want. You need cooperation from the other party to get laws passed and to get things done in Washington. The other party is simply not going to cooperate with President Trump. They don't like him, and they want to see him gone, and they view any cooperation as strengthening his hand. So the president's vision is accurate. You can't have millions of people streaming across the border doing whatever they want in this country. We can't afford it. It turns immigration law into anarchy, and it has unintended consequences across the board socially and everywhere else. So you've got to stop it. His vision that a wall is necessary to stop it is based on positive results from the barrier in San Ysidro, that's San Diego, in Yuma, Arizona, El Paso, Texas. Looks to me like a barrier would make it more difficult to smuggle people and narcotics into the United States. And he basically says, look, if you want to change the immigration laws, change them. But as long as I'm president, I can't allow an open border and just general anarchy across the board. So I think that issue is a positive for him. I think most Americans don't want open borders, and they want a semblance of control over who comes into the United States.
Hey, Bill, this is Tony Colombo. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Trump effect on the Democratic Party and their rush to the left. There's no doubt that socialism has a bigger platform in this country than it ever has before, but is it a big enough platform that we could one day see somebody from that extreme opinion actually hold a national office?
Yeah, anything's possible, but I think the best illustration, Tony, is that when you get too extreme in America, the folks, the majority of people go, stop. Missouri is a great example of this. So you got this governor in Virginia, and he goes on television and he says, you know, even after you birth a baby, if you don't want the baby, if the baby's flawed or something matter with it, or you don't think you can raise it, yeah, you know, we might be able to put the baby to death in a humane way. Remember that?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So people go, what? That's Nazi stuff. You know, my last book was Killing the SS. That's what they did. And so what happens in Missouri? And what happens in Alabama? And what happens in Louisiana and other states? They go, you know what? Enough. We're going to start to pass laws that make it more difficult to have an abortion because we see where this is going and we don't like it. So that if you become this extreme, and that's what's running the Democratic Party right now, they're trying to kill Joe Biden, they being the far left. You become extreme in America, there's going to be a backlash against you. I think Trump understands that this only helps him, and that's why he made it a focal point of his Orlando speech last week.
Bill, let's set Biden aside for 1 second. We'll get to him. Everyone else in the 2020, all of these 20 or 24 that are about to debate Thursday night, anyone in there that really intrigues you that you think has a dark horse half a chance?
No, I don't. I don't see anybody in there in that whole crew of 24 people. Outside of John Hickenlooper, the former governor of Colorado and mayor of Denver, who reflects a realistic point of view as far as America is concerned. They all are basically pandering to where the money and the media is, and that's on the far left.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big, big change. Because Barack Obama, if you look at him, when he first ran, he was a moderate and conservative on some issues. Did you know that he was against reparations for slavery? That he was against open borders? That he deported more people in his first 2 years in office than Donald Trump has? So Obama was no crazy left-wing guy. He was a social justice warrior, income redistribution, came back to bite him. But he wasn't, in his thinking, radical left. All these other people today are, because that's where the money is. So you got to raise a lot of money. You want to run for president? You got to raise a lot of money. And the money's coming from the far left precincts.
So if Joe Biden hires Bill O'Reilly as a campaign consultant, how does he have a chance of beating Trump? What's he do?
Well, I know Biden for a long time, and I said on the O'Reilly Update, the radio program that we're doing, and then on my website, BillO'Reilly.com, where we do TV commentary every night, I said months ago that he's going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party if he doesn't blow up. And we'll see on Wednesday. Well, he's on Thursday, right? I can't even figure out who's on what night, you know. But he basically is more acceptable to the what they call a mainstream Democrat. So if I'm running Biden's campaign, Biden's a good politician. He's not remote. He likes people. I think genuinely does like people. And he gets out there and people kind of respond to him because he's a regular Joe, if you want to use a cliche.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to basically toughen up, because he has now repudiated every single policy that he in the past supported, every one. And I mean, and Trump's going to kill him on that. He's just going to run his old. I ran it tonight on BillO'Reilly.com. I ran a soundbite about him on the border being tough on the border. Going, we got to have a wall. We can't have all these people coming in here. We got to punish employers who hire illegal aliens. That's on tape. All right, and now he's like the open border guy? I mean, come on. So I tell him, look, you got to go back to your roots, and you got to be the moderate Democrat and take the flack that's coming from the far left. And if you don't want to repudiate them in the primaries, which he doesn't, you got to basically say to people, I'm not going to govern from a socialist point of view. I'm not that far left, and be honest with them.
Bill, one last substance question here. What did you think of what just happened over the weekend with the almost strike on Iran and pulling back? And did you buy Trump's explanation? Did you agree with it?
No, everybody asked me. I'm not in these policy meetings. That's what people don't understand. All right, there's intel that comes in, all right, that we don't have. We analysts, we the people, we don't know. So I go back to Iraq, and that Bush the Younger really hurt himself by going into that place under the pretense of removing Saddam Hussein because of weapons of mass destruction. Now, at the time, I said, fine, that's what Colin Powell was telling, and Colin Powell was. He was telling everybody they Saddam Hussein had these weapons, and he was going to hand them off to the terror crews, and we had to get them out of there. But you, look at the unintended consequences. Look at what happened. So if you're going to hit Iran militarily, you're going to have unintended consequences like you had in Iraq. So you've got to do it in a very cautious way. So I think the sanctions are strangling that economy over there. If you're a Persian and you have money in the bank, your money is worth 60% less than it was this time last year. And I don't know how long they can continue to go with that. So I think at this point, if it were me, I would have probably done it the same way.
Bill, tell the 97.1 listeners about the new O'Reilly update. What's the format?
Well, Paul Harvey, one of the radio icons, I had a good relationship with him while he was on radio. He passed away a few years ago. And, you know, nobody's really ever done that. Mm-hmm. And I got so frustrated by hearing so much, you know, Trump calls it fake news, and he's been very successful in branding it that way. But it's true. It's true. I mean, there's so many things that are reported that are false. Because these big corporations, six corporations now control 90% of the national news coverage. And they basically tell their people, this is what you say. So you turn on cable news. I mean, I did it for more than 20 years, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. And it's all, we hate Trump or we love Trump. You know, it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, let's just do our analysis from a case by case. Oh, no, we can't do that. And I said to myself, look, I get a little annoyed with this. So when they came to me and they said, look, we need a voice on radio every day for, you know, a really pithy 15-minute news commentary show, and you can tell the truth and just let it fly, I said, all right, I'll do it. And that was in early May, and we're up to about 160 affiliates already, which is, they tell me, is phenomenal, and we're rolling.
All right. Well, maybe we'll have it here on 97.1 very soon. Bill, thanks. We appreciate it. Hope to talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys. Right. Thanks for having me in.
See you, Bill.
Right.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, DGS 530. This is a little bit in the weeds politically, but I just happened to see a story on it today. Most of us know the basics of the story. The census deal, right? So for the first time in like 70 years, they put in, are you a legal resident? Yeah. And then this Wilbur Ross, my God, if anyone ever crawled out of an apple, it's this F nut. And so basically the deal is that there's a whole bunch of snail trail of this being put in there to help out whites, you know, and they're lying about it, and it's going to the Supreme Court. Here's what I don't understand. Here's what I don't understand. And this happens all the time. People lie about things they don't need to lie about.
Yeah.
People try to cover up things that don't need covered up.
Right.
Why can't you just say, because the argument against having that question is that about 6.5 million illegal people will be too scared to say, I'm here. And then especially states like Arizona and Texas and Florida won't get enough money for entitlements.
Yeah.
Because those people won't be represented.
Yeah.
There'll be an undercount. Maybe I'm some sort of caveman, but I don't want to count people who aren't residents because I don't want to include them in the money that a state needs for entitlements. So I don't know why Wilbur the Worm Ross didn't just say, yeah, we don't want to count illegal immigrants because we don't want to give them any entitlements. And so if Texas, for example, has 3 million illegal immigrants there, why would we count them? It seems so simple to
me.
And just the rules of being direct. If it's what you really think, just say it. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to paint it as if, oh no, it's not that. It's not that at all. No, it is that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whatever idiot said, oh, this is to help whites, that's just a dumb thing to say, whether you mean it or not. But to say we don't want to count illegal aliens in our census. Now, it's one thing if you say we want to have a head count, every single human head. Okay. But when you start saying that the primary purpose of this is to make sure we can give enough money for entitlements. No. Now you've lost me.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
What kind of 100% seems so simple.
What kind of protections do non-citizens have under our Constitution? I would have to think it's none. So how can there be a legal argument for illegal immigrants? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Giving the state the money needed to
take care of the people that are there. The problem is in the courts, they're saying, no, you can't do this because it would undermine the rights of illegal immigrants, right?
Which you don't have.
But they don't have rights.
The plaintiff's new evidence potentially connects the dots between a discriminatory purpose, which is diluting Hispanics' political power, and Secretary Ross's decision.
Mm-mm. Nope, it's diluting
illegal immigrants'
power. I want
every U.S. resident
to have
all the power and all the rights.
Yes.
And I don't care whether you are lily white and your family's been here 400 years, or if you're African American, or if you're Hispanic, or you're Asian. I don't care if your family has been here since the Mayflower, or you took the oath yesterday.
Yep.
I don't care. If you're a citizen, you're a citizen, and you're a citizen just as much as me. But if you snuck in here, I may understand why. I might have done the same thing.
But you don't have any rights.
But you don't have any rights.
Yep, exactly.
And you certainly don't have any rights to be counted so that we can give you money.
That's when I get really, really, really confused. And I feel like when I listen to conversations like this, I feel like I must be missing something, because the answer seems so clear. If you're not a citizen and you are here illegally, then you don't have, what is your political power? What are you talking about? Are you voting? Because you're not supposed to be voting. So if I'm undermining your ability to vote, I'm not taking your rights away because you never had rights to begin with. But we're in such a cluster politically right now where it's like, nope, you're racist and you're taking away their political power, but they don't have any. Does that really make you a racist and discriminatory to point that out? That's nuts.
Thank you.
It's nuts.
Are all of the Democratic presidential nominees agreeing that that question should not be on the census? Or have they taken a position on it at all?
What's that?
That the question on the census.
Has who taken a position?
The Democratic nominees.
Oh, no. Every one of them think it should not be on.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah, if O'Reilly was saying that Biden is backtracking,
now, I'll say this. if you can take a census of every single person, legal and not, great. Because I would like to know. I would like to know that they're here. But as soon as you start allocating funds based on someone who's not a citizen, mm-hmm. now you've gone outside.
Yeah. And you're giving, and you're rewarding places like sanctuary cities that can, that attract illegal aliens.
Yeah.
And if you, if you're giving them money for yeah. them, then not.
And as Bob from Collinsville points out, it's also the number of representatives. Yeah. It's all sorts yeah. of things.
Yep. Yep. Now you're rewarding those places.
I can absolutely understand wanting to know they're here, but I don't. We that, should know
what
whether,
you would know if they answered the question and, on
right,
the census.
As much as,
right.
And as much as the reason why they're putting it on there is the reason Wilbur Ross is giving for why they're putting it on there is BS, like you just pointed yeah. out. It's also BS that what the Democrats are saying is why they say it shouldn't be on there, because it gives white people power and it belittles human. No, the only reason they want it on there is because exactly what Bob from Collinsville said is because they know that they're all Democrats and they'll yeah. get more Democrats in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. It's all about political power for them. It has nothing to do with human rights.
Right.
Like they try to paint the picture.
Yeah, I do.
It gives them more people that are voting Democrat, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah, I wonder if the Republican platform just totally changed and now suddenly we're the ones helping illegal immigrants, how the Democratic platform would change. Like, it, would everyone then be saying kumbaya, or would it start to change?
Absolutely not. Yeah. Because if the majority of illegal aliens voted for Republicans, yeah. Democrats would do everything they could to build the wall and keep them out.
Right.
Yeah. The
no
way,
doubt.
It seems to me the way to do it is you take a census and you say, are you legal or not? But there's not a penalty. If you say no, then ICE doesn't go show up and grab you. And if it comes out that we have 330 million citizens and 30 million illegal immigrants, that's valuable information to have. But you only count the legal people when it comes to how many reps you have and how much money you get for entitlements. I don't think you should be counting non-citizens for anything other than this is how many human heads we have right. in the country.
And it just feels crazy that people would say that you were being discriminatory for saying that. That's, I don't understand.
The way you're describing it, Dave, is, I think, actually the way it is, because this question doesn't actually stop illegal immigrants from answering
no.
anything on the census.
No.
They're just thinking it'll decrease
yes.
the amount of immigrants that will want to.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even a question of whether they will.
I will say it. I said it whenever this first came up. I can't believe it wasn't a question on the census beforehand.
It used to be.
Yeah.
70 years ago.
Yeah. yeah.
It's crazy to me that it wasn't on there. It seems like the census is for the citizens of the United States, so I just always assumed. Silly me.
You think the only people that would even get it in the mail would be
right.
citizens.
Right.
Like the only people that would have the the option to fill it out would be American citizens.
Welcome back, DGS, few minutes shy of 6 p.m. If you didn't get to hear our interview with Bill O'Reilly at 5 p.m., you can podcast it. You can always podcast. You guys podcast by the hundreds of thousands every month. Really, really cool. Really appreciate it. So they've released the video. You know how, okay, let me try to get this right. I've said before that before they showed the Ray Rice video of him punching his wife.
Yes.
Everyone knew punching your wife and knocking her out and dragging her out of an elevator by her hair is horrific.
But when you see it,
it
just changes.
You're like, my God.
Yep.
Similarly, watching Jussie Smollett with a clothesline around his neck in his apartment is the same type of effect it's having on me. I think this guy's a complete waste. I think he should be in jail. I think what he did was absolutely terrible. It's the dumbest crime ever done. But when you actually see him standing in his condo with this stupid, ridiculous looking makeshift noose around his neck that the brothers he hired put on him, it's just embarrassing. It is so silly. Anyone have that similar
why
effect, like watching it?
Why is his face blurred?
Yeah, we know who it is.
We all know. They're first of all, they're telling us it's him. We know what he looks like.
Yeah.
He's on television.
Right.
Why are they pulling his face? I don't get it.
So here's an interesting question. Going back to the last segment, we're talking about the census and non-citizens, and you don't have rights. And some people saying yes, they do have some rights. Josh Corey, our flat earther, asked an interesting question on Twitter. He said, "Where do rights come from?" It's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple ways to look at it. If you're a religious person, you can say rights come from God. It's right there in the Constitution. A lot of people believe that God-given rights.
If it also depends on what rights you're talking about.
That's right. And if you're not a religious person, then I think you look at it and you say, sort of like Jack Glover used to tell me, that, hey, the Constitution says you have the right to this and this and this and this. You don't. If the whole thing goes down, that piece of paper is not worth anything. You only have the rights that someone is going to allow. So those are the two ends of the spectrum.
Yep.
To me, the rights come from the law. If we're going to be civilized people and going to be a nation of laws, that's where the rights come from. And the rights can change by changing the laws, and the laws can change by changing the politicians and the judges, and that can change by voting and being active. That's the way it's always been. But you have to pick one. And if you say, well, I know that the laws of the nation say this, but I find that reprehensible, because God wouldn't treat people like that, okay, then that's a reason to go out there and vote differently and try to change those laws. Or to say, well, I don't believe in God, but just from the humanity standpoint, our laws are so abhorrent because look at the way it's affecting these people. You can say that too. But those are opinions. Those are different than laws. Opinions are what lead to the changing of laws. I might think that it's really abhorrent that I have to file my taxes or stop at red lights, but the law says differently. So unless I can somehow use my power to get that changed, I have to live under the laws. That's my answer. What's yours?
Yeah. Well, again, mine is, it depends on what rights you're talking about. If you're talking about the rights given to you for being a United States citizen, then you're talking about the rights that are in the Constitution that the government provides. If you're talking about the rights of just being a human being, then yeah, then you got to get into whether or not you believe that that's a whole different conversation. Talk about whether or not those rights come from God, if they come from the universe, if they come from just your humanity. So to me, it's like, well, what rights are you talking about? And the conversation that we were having that sparked that question was the rights. We were talking about the rights that are given to you, because we're talking about the census. We were talking about the rights that are given to you for being a United States citizen, which I do not think that you should get if you are not a United States citizen.
I have zero rights as a Mexican citizen. Rights there.
Yes. Yeah,
but not because I'm a Mexican citizen,
right?
Or a French citizen, or a citizen of the UK.
You have rights given to you by their government as a visitor.
Yes.
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 But whatever rights they give their citizens, I don't have access to those things. And that's what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine not having... Because to me, what you're saying, Dave, is that the highest moral law that we have in the United States, or really in any country, if there is no endowed by their creator, if there is no God, is the law. And there is nothing higher. So the law itself is the highest sort of moral standard that we have. Is that accurate?
I'm not... Practically, yes. Conceptually, you can disagree.
Yeah.
Because you can say that I believe that there's a higher law, with or without God, than what the laws of the state of Missouri or the United States of America delineate. And I'm going to obey those laws. I think that people deserve XYZ. You can do that until you run up against the law. And then you may be in trouble. That's the difference between conceptual and practical.
But that higher moral law above the law that you live life by, and you may disagree with our laws, you may agree with them, based on your perception of what's right and wrong. But then without an objective creator, that becomes completely subjective, right? To each individual.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, which is one of the reasons we have laws.
It also seems to me that it's one of the reasons that we have so much more disagreement now than we used to, because we used to be based more on a Judeo-Christian ethic, whereas now it's a little bit more like find your own truth. So there's more disagreement.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. But I think that it's circumventing the natural order that the way laws change is because people say this isn't fair. It's not fair that we own other human beings. We should stop this. It's not fair that this person can't vote. It's not fair that this person can't marry this person. We should change that. So there's always going to be a time in our society, in every country, that the opinion of an individual or a majority of individuals differ from what the law is. That's the way it's always been. There was a time when you could legally own another human being and sell them. And that changed. There was a time that women couldn't vote. There was a time that certain people couldn't get married. That it changes. But up until that point, if you're doing that thing, like Rosa Parks, you're doing it illegally. And that's how most laws get changed, by people saying, I'm going to do it anyway. And then it ends up going through the court system. And if you're on the right side, the courts say, you're right.
So are you saying that soon we could see the law change to where non-citizens are just legally able to vote?
Absolutely.
They already can in some places.
Yeah, because they're choosing not to prosecute them.
Not in national elections, but there are local municipalities that have
changed their
laws to allow illegal immigrants to vote.
I don't think that people who sneak into the country should be allowed to vote. But let's say that 15 years from now, the liberals really go on a run, and the court changes, and both houses and the Oval Office change, and that's the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm on the other side.
That's the law of the land.
That's law of the land.
You can fight to have it change, but you have to.
Yes.
You have to go along with that. That's the law right now.
Yes.
You can't just say, I'm not going to. I know it's the law, but I'm just not going to. I don't agree with it.
Right.
So I'm not going to adhere to it.
At that point,
you can't do that.
I'm the odd man out.
Right. Right.
And that could absolutely happen.
Sure.
There's a lot of beauty in what you're saying. I mean, that's the way our whole system's set up. And yes, we can abuse it, but it was set up for that reason. And it was when they framed the Constitution, they said, yes, this can be abused.
Right.
This can go down, but this is the way we're setting it up. And then free will. You guys do what you want from the time we leave on.
Except for right now, what people are doing on the left, and people that are doing the whole, well, I just don't agree with that law, so I'm not going to adhere to it. That's not supposed to be how it works. There's supposed to be consequences for not adhering to the law.
And
it just seems like people in power just get to pick and choose. Like the whole thing, like, oh, you're going to be subpoenaed, but I'm not actually going to hold you in contempt. That's just something that happens now. And when I say I feel stupid about the immigration debate, it's because it seems obvious, but then people don't actually get in trouble for it. It seems to be this unwritten thing where, like, well, they're not allowed to vote, but we need their votes. So you're a racist if you don't agree with me. It just seems like on things that benefit them, whatever. But if it benefits us,
I think nine
we're held to a higher standard.
9 out of 10 problems we have in this country can be traced back to one thing. Maybe it's always been this way, but it is this way now. We're just playing a game. The United States government and most lower governments, state, local, they're just playing a game. It's not about trying to do what's right. It's not about trying to do what makes sense. It's us versus them, and they're just playing a game. I think everyone knows what the immigration deal is. I think everyone knows what most things are and should be up there. But they're not doing what's right or what would work. They're playing a game.